Why do we have to suffer? Tonight here we see a man who was spoke of in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New Testament. Jesus is first seen as the angel of the Lord. And Isaiah 53 is considered as striking prophecy about Jesus. Now the convincing revelation of Jesus was played out in his person and his work. My assignment for tonight is to present Jesus in the Old Testament and how God used men of prophecy to reveal him. If you look back at Isaiah 52 and 13, it says, "Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and gently exalted." Now you have asked the question, why do you have to suffer? And I'm glad you asked, because Jesus suffered. Here in chapter 53 of Isaiah, it speaks on the suffering servant. I want to thank Reverend Earl Jones on last night for opening up this chapter on last night with saying, "Have you believed the message?" Dealing with verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. He gave some good points on last night about his text. A, was warnings was put in place. B, was recognize where you are. C, was did you see the power of God? D, was God's work in the believer. Now here, looking at verse 3, he was despised and forsaken. Look at forsaken. It's a translated verb meaning to renounce or turn away entirely. The NSB Bible says rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus was not a party man. It would be wrong to think of him as being sad and depressed. He certainly showed great joy. You find that in Luke 10 and 21. Yet he knew sorrow and grief. So immediately that he could be called a man of sorrows. This among other reasons made him despised and rejected by men. One is most of our sorrow is really just self-pity. It's feeling sorry for yourselves. Jesus never once felt sorry for himself. His sorrow was for others and for the fallen, desperate condition of humanity. This is what Spurgeon had to say. He was also a man of sorrows. For the variety of his woes. He was not a man of sorrows only, but of sorrow. All the sufferings of the body and all the soul were known to him. The sorrows of man who actually struggles to obey the sorrows of the man who sits still and passively endures. The sorrows of the lofty. He knew, for he was the king of Israel. The sorrows of the poor he knew, for he had where he laid his head. Sorrows related. Sorrows personal. Sorrows mental. Sorrows spiritual. And sorrows of all kinds and degrees assailed him. Affliction emptied his quiver upon him, making his heart the target of all conceivable woes. Let's look at 1 Timothy 3. Gives qualifications of the overseers and deacons as leaders in the church. One is to be sober-minded. This word describes the who is able to think clearly and speak with clarity. Here part B of verse 3. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Because there was nothing outward beautiful are charismatic about the Messiah. Mankind's reaction was to withdraw from him, to despise him and hold him in low esteem. This shows that men value physical beauty and charisma far more than God does and when he sees it. We can reject the ones who God accepts. Let's look at verse 4 here. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet ourselves esteemed him stricken, smite of God and afflicted. Look at the A part of verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. At this point, the prophet does not have in mind the way of the Messiah, our guilt and God's wrath upon himself. He made our griefs his own and our sorrows as if they were his. All right. The image is that he loaded them up and carried them on his back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we wouldn't have to do it on our own. One of part A is how many people carried around pain. Yeah. Grief and sorrows that Jesus really carried for them. All right. He took them from us. But for some of us, it did not matter at all, or neither did it do any good. So we must release them. Some go to the altar every Sunday morning for prayer and return back to their seat the same way they came. The B part of this text is, curiously, this estimation was accurate. And accurate. Certainly the Messiah was stricken. He was smitten by God and he was afflicted. The problem was not in seeing these things, but in only seeing these things. Man saw the suffering Jesus, but didn't understand the reason why. Tonight we know that he did it all for us. Here I look back in my readings of God's word on how Job suffered for the sake of Christ. For Christ's sake is the phrase, a phrase that expresses frustration. How many of us get frustrated when the Lord don't answer your call? Stephen was stoned to death for Christ's sake. Paul suffered for Christ's sake. Sometimes I find myself suffering when your loved ones don't understand that it's the death of Christ that's keeping you and not you yourselves. I'm reminded always in John 6 and 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will not thirst. Like when Jesus said, I am the I am. Jesus said, I am the one who woke you up this morning. I am the one who gave you the activity of your limb. I am the God of gods who put money in your pocket. I am the Son of God who died for the sins of the world. I carried your burdens. I brought you through the trials and tribulation. But I am who I am. He said, I am the Father of the living King. He said, I know there's a whole lot of Jesus out here. But they're not the Jesus that died on the cross. The Jesus that you're looking at now is the Jesus Jesus. The one who can't raise the dead or give sight to the blind. Jesus said, I am who I am. Because I am the one that put food on your table. I am the one who I am. Because I'm the one that gives sight to the blind. I am the one that fixed the woman with the issue of blood. That's why I sometimes suffer in my ams. Because I have to realize who the I am is. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is that bread when I get hungry. He is that water in dry places. He is that bridge over troubled water. He is a mother when mother's dead and gone. He is that father when you're left all alone. But I stop by to tell you, sometimes you suffer because you have to go through things in life. But God said, it's my way or no way at all. But I stop by to tell you, I tried it my way. My way didn't work. But when I tried it Jesus' way, the sun refused to shine. But the word said, no matter how dark it gets, I got a light on the other side. That light is that bread of life. That light is Jesus, that living King. Folks say he died, but I'm here to tell you, he didn't stay dead. But I realize Abraham died. He's still dead. I realize Isaac died. He's still dead. But you know what I found out? When they took your Jesus and my Jesus and put him in a borrowed tomb. But you know what? I'm glad that tomb was just borrowed. Because you borrow something, you got to give it back. But I stopped by to tell you, they tried to hold your Jesus and my Jesus in a borrowed grave. But I heard one day, they put rocks on top of rocks. They put rocks on top of rocks. But one day, early one morning, they say he got up out the grave with power, power, unlimited power. Folks talking about black power, white power. But I stop by to tell you, I'm dealing with the Holy Ghost power. It make you move sometime. It make you cry sometime. It make you shout sometime. No matter what man say, I'm gonna keep my eye on Jesus. The word said in Psalm 121, I'm looking to the hills which come in my help. All of my help come from the Lord. Do you know who he is? He is that rock in a weary land. He is that shelter in a time of storm. He is my battle axe in a time of battle. Do you know who he is? Yeah. He died. 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 But it ain't the end of the story. You know, they did to your Jesus and my Jesus. They took him high. They took him high. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. You know what they did? They thorned his head. But when they thorned his head, it wasn't over yet. They nailed his hand. They riveted his feet. They messed up. They pierced him in the side. Because the blood, that blood, that blood, that blood, that redeeming blood, it washed me whiter than snow. I stop by to tell you, I'm glad Jesus did stay dead. As the old preacher say, that third day morning, he got up out the grave like he said he would. But you know what I'm saying? I never understood when he told his disciples, I'm gonna leave you for a little while. But I stopped by to tell you, he left me for a little while. But you know what? I waited. I waited. I waited. I waited. But one day, I heard the old folks say, he might not come when you want him, but he's always on time. But I stop by to tell you, I got my head in God's hand. No matter what man say, I'm glad. The Bible say, judge ye not, because one day you're going to be judged. You might judge me, but I'm waiting on the real judge. Because one day I found out, I don't have to be perfect to be with him. But I realize I'm striving to be like him. But you know what? I'm going to continue hold on. Are you holding on? Are you holding on? Are you holding on? Because one day, he's coming back. He's coming back at the church without a spot or a wrinkle. Are you the church? I am the church. I'm telling everybody how good God been to me. Telling everybody he's been better to me than I've been to myself. Have you tried him? Have you tried it? Have you tried him? Have you tried him? I'm like the old preacher say, I tried here a long time ago. Have you tried here? I'm trying here right now. Because the saying in his word, weeping may do it for a night, but joy, 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 joy gonna come in the morning.
All right. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. The assignment is to look at Jesus in the Old Testament to see. If you read that, and if you read the preacher last night did the first two verses, and the word I used last night was rejected. The word I'm going to use tonight is despised. This is the Jesus. This is the one. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I said, this is the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus that we see today that's being portrayed on television and through across some pulpits today. But the Jesus that we're talking about is one who was despised by men. Imagine that. Imagine that. He came to save men. But was despised by men and even his own. John testifies to that. What does that mean? That God so loved the world, in spite of man's sinfulness and his rejection of him, he still did it. How many would have been like, nah, you don't want it? I'm done with you. That shit. How many times you done? Come on, help me somebody. You try to help somebody and they keep kicking you down and then you keep saying, nah, I'm done with you. But not our Jesus. Oh, wish I had somebody. Can I tell you something? He'll never, ever give up on you. Oh, come on, help me. He'll never, ever give up on you. As many times as we have let him down, he will never. You got to know his pedigree. It's here. It's right here, isn't it? It's right here in Scripture. Forsaken of man, a man of sorrow. Imagine who Jesus, how he was that man. And when you say, Lord, he always going through something. That word sorrow, that means suffering. Much like Job, you know. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. He was a man of sorrow. They tagged him a man of sorrow. But yet he's King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Alpha and Omega. Come on, somebody. Il Ilion.